Welcome to Whack Brackets, the only podcast that may have to get a stomach pump after eating too many throat lozenges. I'm your host, Mike, and I'm lucky enough, again, to have two of my favorite guests on. I think these guys were on my sixth or seventh episode. They were one of my first guests. They've had me on their podcast. Always a good time when I have on Tad and June from the Puzzle Minds podcast. How are you guys doing today?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thank you so much for having us again.
You're good, man. Survived 2020, so can't be doing that bad, right?
Yeah, 2021 has started out a little interesting, but yeah, anything we can do to get 2020 in the rearview mirror, I am fine with. No complaints.
Yep, let's get that out of the way.
So yeah, well, I'm sure that everybody knows what you do. You've been on once before. I'm sure everybody that listens to Whack Brackets applauds the entire back catalog, but it's possible. It's actually possible this is someone's first listen. So if you guys want to tell us what you do over at the Puzzled Minds podcast, that would be awesome.
Like I said, we are the Puzzled Minds podcast, and we help piece together those 2 a.m. thoughts. That's kind of like our slogan. And what we do, we try to have conversations, you know, that kind of expose people to different type of perspectives. Our last guest that we had someone who was a sex trafficked survivor, and she said kind of like how porn and stuff like that is like a modern day pimp. And I was like, oh, well, that's a different way to look at it. And then we had someone who was a single mom by choice, you know, just not everyday things that you're not exposed to. So we kind of just want to have these conversations as well as different topics that we thought would be interesting for people to listen to.
Sounds good.
You summed it up perfectly.
All right, cool. I'm going to yell at my son real quick. Hold on. Hey, Ben, be quiet. That's a good thing. I can cut this out
real quick.
I love that. I love it. You
I love the casualness. Hold on a sec. Let me go ahead and just tell this motherfucker to shut up real quick.
Is Mike going to have to slap a bitch?
Exactly. Find out next time on Whack Bro.
So sorry about that, but I might even leave that in. What the hell?
Leave it. I love it.
So yeah, with all that said, the good news is you guys are busy having serious and important conversations on your podcast. Me, I do all kinds of dumb shit over here because I am asking the burning questions that you never knew you wanted answered until we ask them. I will bring on fellow podcasters and friends of the show, such as the Puzzle Minds boys, Tad and June here, and we will bracket off similar contestants using irrelevant and ever-changing questions. We are underpinning of approval from the FDA. So if you guys are ready, we will get said whack bracketing.
I'm trying to make up new words, bro, and it is just confusing the audience right now.
It just adds a little bit of flavor, a little bit of spice.
A little stank on
you. That's right. Get a little stank on you. So if the audience wants more stank, we are going to do some whack bracketing here, and we are going to do so with cult leaders. And this should be a fun one. I think that we're probably ready to go. So if you guys are ready, I will get started.
Let's get it.
Been popping.
All righty. The first question in our cult leaders bracket will be, at their hairy peak, which one of these two men was more likely to score a shampoo commercial? Would it be David Koresh or would it be Charles Manson?
All right. So I looked at this in like 2 different ways. Are we going to go based off of like pure hair, or are we going based off of like his ability to convince people to get him a commercial?
You know what? That's the good thing about Whack Brackets. The question is open-ended. As far as I'm concerned, it's almost like a legal contract. If I didn't say legally what it was, you can interpret it any way you want. So you go in any direction you would like with that.
Okay. So if we're going to go based off of luscious locks, then I'm going with Charles Manson. I think he had a very, very thick hair. Like, I think he would be perfect for like a shampoo commercial. David Koresh, he kind of looked like his hair is kind of thinning. And so that's not someone that I would want as a brand to represent my brand, you know? But if we're going off a skill, I think Charles Manson would work just because he used to give LSD to people to do things and stuff like that. And so that wouldn't, you know, that wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility for of him to do that to like the higher ups. Be like, hey, you know, I'd really like to do this episode or this commercial, but let's talk about it with some LSD in my pocket real quick.
That was one hell of an answer. This dude, John, threw my answer in a tailspin. So I'm honestly, okay, for me, I'm of one of 2 ways. If you don't look like you are using the product, I am not convinced. Hence, I'm going to go with Charles Manson because he, at the end of the day, this dude has, one, he's got the hair. Even when I saw, was it Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that movie that came out was like a year ago or so now? Man, time is flying. They didn't even need to put a wig on the actor. Like, let me just find the hairiest dude, and it looked exactly like him. So I'm like, you know what? At the end of the day, his image is selling the product in itself versus the other dude, where the other dude has to probably do all kinds of convincing for me to believe that, like, yeah, you even use the product. And it's like, for example, when you go to GNC, the most jacked purse salesman in there is going to convince me to buy whatever product. If I go in there and homeboy looks like Bruce Banner instead of the Hulk, I'm going to be like, nah, I'm going to stick to water and struggling push-ups. Peace. So my answer is Charles Manson.
All right. Well, I guess I'm outnumbered here, but I may go with Charles Manson. I hadn't thought about it, honestly. I try to keep who I'm going to pick open-ended, but I at least try to do the research. But before I add anything, I have to throw out props to my boy Damon Harriman, who actually played Charles Manson not only in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, but I think he also played it in Mindhunter.
Wait, he played the TV series?
Yes, he played Charles Manson in both of those.
Oh, shit. No way.
So, yeah, same guy. So he's just good at playing Charles Manson. But he's also in, and I don't know if you guys can see, I don't know if you have my video. This is this is my boy, Timothy Oliphant, and that's from Justified. Damon Harriman plays Dewey Crowe in 6 seasons of Justified, one of my favorite shows. So props to Damon. So one thing I will say about David Koresh, I think there are pictures of him with some pretty fine-looking locks.
Really?
Yeah, go check it out in your free time. You don't have to do it now.
Yeah.
When he got older, I think the problem is when he got older, his hair would kind of got, like you said, greasy, and he looked more like a serial wife stalker or something. And
Yacol was very, very specific level, but he's almost like elegant psychopathy versus, you know, lower tier, which is kind of like you said, serial wife stalker. It's like that guy, like you can just tell if something's off, you know?
Yeah. Where if you look at the hair though, back in the early days, he had pretty solid hair, but still, he didn't ooze the machismo as Charles Manson. Of course, I say that. True. I say that, but you know what? If I recall, 79 people died in the Branch Davidian. So even though Charles Manson gets a lot of credit for being a cult leader, David Koresh was probably better. Of course, also, if I recall David Koresh, he was likely murdered before the FBI actually found him. He was shot, not by an FBI bullet, but they assumed that when everybody was inside and the place was burning down, somebody just got pissed at him. Like, you lied to me, motherfucker, and shot him. So I'm going off on a tangent here, but I'm going to say that if David Koresh got one, especially in his later years, it was probably at best like a Prel commercial. I do think Charles Manson could get a better one of those Herbal Essence commercials or something.
So
I think I'm going to agree with you. I was trying to make an argument for David Koresh, and I do think an argument can be made with some of his earlier pictures. But still, question wasn't better cult leader, because I think Koresh has that one, but I at least had to talk it out and try to give the man a run. Long walk around the block to get back to my front door. Charles Manson, all in agreement. And so Charlie, Chuck, however else we want to refer to him, we'll go on to the next round.
Charles.
Oh, Charlie. So, with that said, Charles Manson will go on to the next round against the winner of this WAC bracket. And we are going to pit Jim Jones versus Marshall Applewhite, who's pretty cool. He's a lot cooler cult leader than people give him credit for. He's just not as well known. Which one of these two guys would be a better essential oil salesperson? Tad, we'll let you start out with this one.
This one is a tricky one because at the end of the day, Jim Jones is just, I don't know. Like, I think Jim Jones has that market value. Like, he just has the swag. He has a swag to him, you know? Like, I dig the shades. I dig, like, the suit that he used to wear. Like, he had a swag to him. So I automatically kind of have a bias towards charisma. Like, if you're going to convince me of something, you need, like, going back to the whole GNC salesman, like, you need to look the part, and then now you need to act the part. So I'm just going to go with Jim Jones. At the end of the day, I just think this man can convince anyone of anything. So, yeah.
You know what? I'm going to jump in between you and John just to make you guys possibly disagree, because I'm going to go with Marshall Applewhite. And let me tell you why.
Okay.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Jim Jones is like the Beatles and the Stones of cult leaders combined. He had over 900 people and died drinking the Kool-Aid. That's where the term obviously comes from.
I think Marshall Applewhite looks like a guy that worked at Sears, though. I'm like, you're not convinced me of anything. Like, you know, he just looks like he's doing something bad at all times, you know?
But the thing is about Jim Jones here is that he actually lied to his cult before he got them to drink the Kool-Aid. I think he said it was like a test. And then later on, he's like, oh, we'll drink the Kool-Aid. And then they drank it and they died. So I think they were thinking, oh, he's just pulling our leg again. And not only that, Jim Jones was a straight up gangster. They murdered a politician trying to get out of Jonestown.
Yeah.
Like, he was dropping bodies.
Yeah, this guy's crazy. But the thing is, I love about Marshall Applewhite is he actually convinced all of his members to take like enough LSD. It might slightly stagger the guys from Motley Crue, but it would kill an elephant. And he convinced them to take LSD to the point that they were just going to die. Not only that, they all dressed the same. It's like they were wearing matching tracksuits and Nikes, and they all had like $5 in their pocket or something. So this guy could really get the shit going. If he got in your brain, yeah, Jim Jones, don't get me wrong, it was cool. It was Jim Jones, but he was doing some weird shit too. They were saying he likely had some weird sex trysts going on, but Marshall Applewhite was just straight up about...
That's the greatest part about Jimmy Jones. He was a weird guy. Like, at the end of the day, Marshall Applewhite just looked like he's just trying... Like, Jim Jones was on some borderline sexual voodoo stuff. I don't know what he was like here, but it's odd. So I feel like if this man... Like, I put it this way. I feel like he could make me... Initially, I would be like, I don't want this product. This man has so much swag to him that I would just automatically be like, if I can beat this guy and this product is what he's using, I have to have this product.
I think the thing is with Jim Jones, at least he was selling that he was the savior, etc. But yeah, Marshall Applewhite had a bunch of weird stuff. Like they were going to, their body was going to ascend to heaven. So I'm thinking this guy can talk anybody into anything. So at least just for the sake of argument, I'm going with Marshall Applewhite here, and I'm going to put it over to John to try to solve who goes on to the next round.
So, okay. So I definitely see where you're coming from with the Marshall Applewhite. But see, this whole thing kind of is like, he kind of looks like he sells like life alert stuff. Like he's definitely not an essential oils person. Like you can just go. Yeah. Like, you know, like those old commercials where that girl's like falling down and she's like, life alert. I need life alert.
Yeah.
He does have that kind of like, he doesn't have that. I hate to say the same thing, but you know, that Sears type of vibe of selling stuff, you know, he just has that swag or whatever it is, but it's, essential oils are really hard to sell. Like no one wants to hear anyone talk about that. And so
I disagree. I'll say this. I know plenty of people in this neighborhood that love their essential oils. These women in this neighborhood love it. Now, that being said, my ass is too smart to buy them. And a lot of my friends are too smart to buy them. But yeah, so that essential oils, man, some of these people are crazy and they love that shit. So I'm probably going to get some essential oils hate on this, but yeah, I think you'd be surprised. It wouldn't be a business if somebody didn't.
Yeah. That's true. Well, you know what? Let me say this then. Depending on, do you think that more older women buy it, or do you think, or older people buy it, or do you think younger people buy it?
I live in a neighborhood that I probably shouldn't live in, to be honest with you. I'm probably one of the poorest people in the neighborhood. So, and I'm not saying that to try to be funny. I live in a pretty decent neighborhood, and we are one of the smallest houses in the neighborhood, and they actually make fun of my side of the neighborhood as being the poor side of the neighborhood.
Really?
Which is
fucked up.
Yeah, this is kind of a shitbag place. So yeah, if my neighbors are listening, fuck you guys for calling my side shitty. But with all that said,
hey, fuck you guys too. I didn't want to say that.
Yeah.
Tell them, Tad, tell them to fuck off.
I fuck you guys too.
but no, it's very, from what I've seen, because they do have a community message board, and there's always some broad out there trying to sell essential oils. And I'm like, she ain't going to sell that. Next thing I know, there'd be like 27 responses. Oh, I want the creamsicle fucking delight to it, whatever. Yeah, the limited edition cunt smelling douchebag. What is it? Whoever sells the candles that smells like their vagina. That wasn't her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Long story short, they will buy this shit in just crazy amounts. So it's a thing, but it tends to be, and I'm not going to generalize women here because it's not my intention at all, but women tend to like their essential oils more than men, I would say. And the people that respond tend to be kind of made housewives of husbands who have really good jobs. So of course they're sitting around bored as fuck, drinking mimosas at 1 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing about drinking in the middle of the day. When you're rich, it's considered fun, but when you're poor, it's just considered like you're an alcoholic.
And a problem.
It's
crazy. Exactly. Yeah, I never thought about it like that.
Double standard.
Yeah. So with all that said, I'm going to I will quit hijacking June's conversation here and let you answer. But I had to go on my tirade and my rant about essential oils.
It's all good, man. Honestly, well, with that perspective, I think we're going to go with, I'm going to have to go with Jim Jones, man. If Jim Jones came to the front door of your neighborhood, I think they would respond more towards Jim Jones than Marshall Applewhite, you know?
Yeah. You're probably right.
If Jim Jones said, "Hey, I use essential oils and my skin looks this good," and then you see Marshall Applewhite right next to me, you think you're gonna buy it off of him? Like, no, they ain't gonna buy it off of him.
Yeah, you're probably.
So Jim Jones got it. I think he got it in the bag.
All right. Yeah. He went from being a serious salesman to being like a door to door essential oil salesman that all of a sudden garners respect. But either way, I think you're 100% right. I don't think if you came to my neighborhood to sell essential oils, Marshall Applewhite's getting the cops called on him.
No, that's true. Yeah. He's definitely the type to like have like a ice cream van.
And oh, yeah.
Use that as his vehicle of transportation.
Mm-hmm. Jim Jones is pulling up in that like old school Cadillac Pimpmobile and you're automatically buying what he's selling, you know?
Yeah. In my mind, Jim Jones actually is, I know essential oils probably don't do this, but I know like the old Mary Kay Cosmetics, I think if you sold enough of them, you would get a pink Cadillac or some shit.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen one actually in my life.
Yeah, I think it's maybe Avon. Anyway, long story short, it's one of those. So in my mind, he's rolling up in front of your house in a pink Cadillac and he sashays out with a big sash and he walks up to your front door selling essential oils. So yeah, I could see that more. That's not a Marshall Applewhite vibe to me. So I agree. I think I'm going to go with Jim Jones here as well. I'm going to change my mind. You've talked me into it. Mm. Didn't want to be. I'm a sucker for a good argument, so I'll accept it. I'll buy it.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
So with that said, we do have a championship here that probably took the two number one seeds and their respective brackets because Charles Manson, even though he's not the best cult leader or the most deadly, is probably the most famous. And then you have Jim Jones, who is probably at least – from United States news, probably the most successful cult leader of all time and killed over 900 people. Mm-hmm. So we are going to bracket those two guys off with the final question. Which one of these two fellas is less likely to return their shopping cart to the corral, even when it's easy to do so?
Mike, you can go first and then we can, we'll split it up.
All right, I'll go first here then. I don't normally do that, but this will be an interesting change of pace.
Plot twist.
Sorry
to hijack your show.
Oh, no, go ahead. Somebody needs to take control of this show. I just let it go off the rails half the time. So if somebody doesn't take control of it, it's just going to be a mess. So with that said, I was kind of hoping that Marshall Applewhite would get here because Jim Jones and Charles Manson, I think both of them have direct problems with authority. Obviously, they both feel like they are something very special. I'm using my big boy words. So I feel very special. but they feel very self-important, I guess, is a better way to put it. Mm-hmm. And the difference is I do think Charles Manson, at least the way he lived, seemed to be more of a man of the people. Mm-hmm. He was more involved in that. So I could at least, if one of them was going to be sympathetic, maybe. So I know sympathy isn't in Charles Manson's vocabulary either. But if you had to choose, I think Charles Manson is at least more of a real normal person that's just happens to be a crazy flaming bag of shit. Mm-hmm. Where Jim Jones, I think, has elevated himself to a level where he almost feels like he's not even human. He's something above even an average person. So to him, he's just going to leave the cart where it is. He's probably going to like run it into somebody else's car, hit a few cars on the way out of the neighborhood while he's trying to drink his spiked Kool-Aid, and he's not going to give a shit. And I think Charles Manson, I think Manson will return it. So less likely, I'm going to go with Jim Jones, less likely to return that car. Mm-hmm. We'll turn it over to, let me see. Let's go with June this time. Who you got, June?
See, so I actually looked at it the opposite way. I thought Charles Manson always had this like demeanor that he was like, fuck it, I'm a rebel, I'll do whatever I want. And from the pictures that I've seen with Jim Jones, like he just seems like he's just calm, cool, collect. Like he'll just, you know, he'll do the right thing. Well, I guess, you know, in this case, let me say,
not always.
Yeah. In this case, he just seems like, you know, oh, you know, I'll just put that cart back. But Charles Manson, I don't know, for some reason, I always associate like his don't give a fuck demeanor with I don't know, maybe it's just the tattoos that he has, like his swastika tattoo. Like, I feel like he's just like, I don't give a fuck. I'll do whatever I need to do and just leave that card there.
All right. So we have a split then. So Tad, you get to break this tie. Charles Manson, Jim Jones.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with my man Manson, mainly because Jim Jones seems more self-absorbed. Like, he seems like he'll feel like he's too good to return that card. He'd be like, someone else needs to do this for me. You know, so if he takes it out, he probably just leave that thing in the middle of the street. Unlike Charles Manson, Charles Manson has an image maintained. He has that man of the people to maintain. So he's like, he's going to go in there and be like, I am so humble. Look at me returning my own card.
Oh, so it's you're saying Jim Jones then?
Well,
less likely.
Did I say that backwards?
No, exactly.
Yeah, Jim Jones. My bad.
Oh, shit. The plot twist again. Look at that.
Shyamalan plot twist. Gotcha.
Swerve.
All right, so it's
so I think it's settled.
Jim Jones.
So yeah, I was surprised. I got you guys to disagree. It's an amazing show.
That's exactly what happened last bracket too. We almost broke up too. Thanks, Mike.
We did. Yeah, you almost destroyed the show, dude.
Yeah, you know what? I'm good at that. I destroy marriages. I destroy childhoods. You know, ask my family; they'll tell you all about it. But with that said, we are going to award this episode's Whack Bracket the cult leader. Whack bracket winner, Mr. James Jones. Sounds more like a football player, but we're talking about the Sears salesman, the guy who sells essential oils in a pink Cadillac, Jim Jones. And with all that said, thank these two guys, June and Tad from the Puzzle Minds podcast. And before we go, I will let them tell you how to reach them on the social medias or the emails or anything else they prefer.
Cool. Thank you for having us, Mike, again. If you want to follow us on Instagram, it's Puzzle Minds Podcast. Twitter is Puzzle Minds Pod. We're all on all major platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts. I don't know why you'd be on music. Anything like that. And I just wanted to have a little shout out. I am making some merchandise, but it's not with the podcast. It's for my dog.
He's actually the CEO of our podcast.
Yeah,
the one that pays John and I.
Yeah. So that will be out very soon, hopefully. So, you know, whenever that gets out, hopefully, if you guys like corgis, that'll be in the works. So be on the lookout for that.
So with all that said, thank you again, John and Tad, for being guests on the podcast. This is Mike, and you can reach Whack Brackets on any of the social media platforms that you normally go to. You can go to @WhackBrackets on the Instagrams and the Tweeters and even the Facebooks. I've been trying to fuck around with the Facebooks a little more, but still don't like it, but you know, it is what it is. You can't always enjoy your job. And my job is to get Whack Brackets out to the masses. So with all that said, I want to thank the Puzzle Minds boys again, and I will let you guys go and let these guys see out. Take it easy.
Peace.
Stay puzzled, everyone.